It's 6:30 in the evening. I'm sitting here in Rishikesh in what is known as the Ishan Hotel. It's not a quality hotel. It takes us about 4 hours to clean the rooms that we're staying in here in order to make them livable. I had to throw out the mattress, pillow, sheets, and sponsor new ones for the hotel. But it has one thing no other guest house in Rishikesh has, and that is a stunning view of Ganga Devi. We're about 8 floors up on a hill that's just overlooking the Ganges. She's flowing in front of me, Mother Ganges, beautiful, beautiful crystal green. And the area where we're staying is called Tapovan, or it's the forest of austerity. No one doing austerities here anymore, but in days of yore, this used to be a place where people performed austerities. And we're beside Lakshman Chula. That means bridge, the bridge of Lakshman. In the time of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, and Sita Devi came here when they were in exile. And even at that time, this was the place of rishis. There were many sages residing here. At that time, probably the quality of the sages was of a higher caliber than they were today. And they asked Lord Ramachandra to construct a bridge. So with their arrows, Lakshman and Ram constructed a bridge. This is the northerly bridge, which is called Lakshman Jula, and about 2-3 kilometers downstream is Ram Jula. And the actual town of Rishikesh is just down there around Ram Jula. Up here, there's nothing else other than guest houses. And then further north, almost abruptly, there's nothing except Ganga Devi. And on either side, there are rocks and white sand beaches. Every day, myself and Niranjan Maharaj and Shabi Hari, Shabi Asajin, we walk out about a kilometer or two to a beach, provided that it hasn't been yet taken by one of the innumerable groups of Western youths that come here to Rishikesh for different purposes. And we bathe in the Ganges, which is the coldest I've ever experienced. And I sent a message to Govinda Maharaj. He said it's so cold because I'm getting old and my body heat is down. But the two young men that are with us, they have difficulty in actually swimming in it. It's really, really cold, and it's lower than I've seen it. I would say that it is really cold. It tastes just like molten ice when you drink it. And I drink it when I go swimming, and I bring water here. I don't have to buy any kind of spring water or Ganges water. I just drink it as it is. Probably most of the Westerners who come to India come to Rishikesh. So if you look out here or walk around, just like I'm now looking over Lakshman Jula, sometimes there's more Westerners than there are Indians. This is the headquarters of Shivananda Yoga Center. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi and so many other well-known yogis. So the young people come here to learn yoga. yoga, very often they just book into a hotel and take courses for a week, 2 weeks, month, few months. In fact, just beneath me right now on the other side of the street is a yoga hall, and there's about a half dozen people laying on the floor right now. I think they're just recovering from their yoga session. The yoga hall is all glass, and they have sessions starting at 8 in the morning and around, I guess, 4 in the afternoon for a couple of hours. I've been polishing up on my Surya Namaskar and a few other asanas by watching from here and being able to learn without paying a fee. And aside from the yoga, people come here, the youth come here probably for drugs and spiritual life, but to tell you the truth, it's such a confused place, like the rest of India, but perhaps more so. I would say it's like a zoo. Everyone here is dressed in some kind of unique garb, red, orange, white, black. They greet you with Hari Om. In fact, today when we were down by the Ganga, a Baba came asking us for some bakshish, and when he saw that we were chanting Hare Krishna, he said that Om is the heavy god, Krishna is not the heavy god. So, because he couldn't speak English and I couldn't converse with him, I thought an alternative would have been to just throw him into the Ganges, but then I just thought better of that and asked him to leave. And he's one of so many other locals or sadhus, Indian sadhus, who don't really have the faintest idea of what spiritual life is about. And some of them are in the guise of sadhus, but they're actually just beggars. Others have ashrams and perhaps fame and teach. But none of them really have a clue as to what the absolute truth is about, if there even is such a thing as an absolute truth, or whether they're even really interested in such a thing as an absolute truth. What then to speak of the youth who come here seeking for the spiritual wisdom of India? Here, the spiritual wisdom of India is really hidden away. And amazingly enough, there are so many bookshops everywhere. Everywhere there are bookshops with all kinds of books. Yesterday I was somewhat pacified to see that amongst all the books by authors I won't name, there was Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And that gave me some hope that people will be able to really find the truth if they're seeking it. But otherwise, the young will come here and they can never figure out what spiritual life is about. It's really emphasizes the wonder that Srila Prabhupada did, the wonder that Srila Prabhupada was to save us from all this type of madness, from becoming one of these people who go to India to search for the truth, only to become completely bewildered. Neither did we have to go to India, but actually the essence of India's teachings came to us. It really brings it home, being here. Brings it home also in another way, that probably 100 boats come down here, inflatable boats full of Indian tourists screaming and shouting, enjoying riding the rapids of Ganga Devi. It brings it home that where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Indian people a mission to be Krishna conscious and give Krishna consciousness to others. These people no longer even come here for any spiritual purpose, Indian people, but they actually come here to enjoy themselves. They come here to eat, they come here to boat ride, they come for so many different types of excursions that are brought here, and of course in the process they also make a lot of noise. Still, Ganga Devi remains tranquil. The assurance of success for spiritual seeker, as Kunti Devi says, that just as the Ganges forever flows to the sea, let my devotion ultimately reach you. In the same way, I sit here and pray to Ganga Devi that my devotion may also find Krishna's lotus feet, maybe as steady, as undisturbed through all different types of tribulations as she is. Hare Krishna.